Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 576, titled Votschwitz, So Near Yet So Farben. This program is being recorded on November 12th of the year 2006. Now, the title of this program is a predictably horrible Dave Emery pun. Votschwitz, of course, talks about the ballot procedure here in the United States and also puns that or dovetails that with Auschwitz. And So Near Yet So Farben is a reference to the IG Farben chemical firm, one of the most important entities not only in the history of industrial capitalism, but also one of the most important political engines of the last couple of hundred years. IG Farben was the German dyestuffs industry. It became an international chemical cartel. It was the dominant firm behind not only the rise of Adolf Hitler politically, but also the dominant firm behind the German war economy in World War II. And last, but for our purposes, most importantly, it also became a pivotal element of the post-war underground Reich, a mafia-like economic entity that overlaps the most powerful corporations in the world and that has perpetuated the Third Reich in a very effective, albeit very quiet, mafia-like fashion in the time since the falling silent of the guns of World War II. What we're going to be looking at in the broadcast today concerns the company, the Smartmatic company, that bought out the Sequoia Voting Systems company in the United States. In some of our visits with Daniel Hopsiger, we talked about Sequoia, one of the funky companies behind the computerized counting of American votes. Sequoia has some very, very interesting links to organized crime. It has already been linked with some electoral irregularities here in the United States and a couple of different states. And again, some of the broadcasts in which we visited with Daniel Hopsiger talk about that. Now, Sequoia has been bought out by the Smartmatic company, which has some evidentiary tributaries running the direction of Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, himself an interesting fellow, and we will at least touch on Chavez in this broadcast. But what is most important concerning Smartmatic, which now owns Sequoia, is who the hell owns Smartmatic? And as we're going to see, behind Smartmatic is a tangled and purposefully confusing set of corporate fronts and hedge fund managing firms that, as we will see, traces back to the IG Farben complex that evolved into and out of World War II, specifically the Sandoz Family Foundation. And Sandoz is one of the IG affiliated companies, is the dominant element, or was for many years the dominant element, in a company called Citgo. And we're going to take a look at the very direct relationship between Citgo, a huge, incredibly powerful, and yet not very well known hedge fund manager, and Smartmatic. In turn, we're going to take a look at the tributaries, or at the relationship, really, between Citgo and the companies that evolved out of IG Farben in World War II, and last but certainly not least, the Bormann Flight Capital Network. As I've stated in many, many, many broadcasts, increasingly listeners to the program who only listen are missing an awful lot of the For the Record experience. I can't stress strongly enough that people should begin using not only the Spitfire websites, but the many linked websites featuring both printed and audio files. I turn every For the Record show into a long article-length description. And in this program, for reference, not only will the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile prove essential, and that book is available for free online on the Spitfire website, but also some of the old anti-fascist books that I have dealing with IG Farben and dealing with the relationship between the international cartel system and Nazi Germany, Those books are now available online for free. Books like Treason's Peace, which we'll be using tonight or in this broadcast. Books like The Devil's Chemists and other treatises dealing with I.G. Farben and with the international cartel system will, I think, be essential for a complete understanding of the broadcast that is being produced. Now, let's begin by following our journey along. Let's take a look at Smartmatic, its purchase of Sequoia voting systems, and why this has raised so many hackles in Washington. That's because Smartmatic has some links to Hugo Chavez. And although we may be too limited for time to talk about Hugo Chavez, a very interesting fellow in and of himself, we are going to, and I will be including some material about Chavez and some of his ambivalent political connections, or some of his Janus-faced political connections, in the description to this broadcast. New York Times, October 29, 2006, article by Tim Golden, headlined, U.S. Investigates Voting Machines Venezuela Ties. Now, of course, the discussion here refers to Hugo Chavez, who is certainly has manifested some left populist political trends, as we'll see, if not in the broadcast itself, in the description. Chavez has some interesting links to third-position fascist elements as well, but Chavez certainly has been an overt thorn and a rhetorical thorn in the side of the Bush administration and is part of a larger left populist trend in the Latin American electoral situation. I think Chavez himself might very well be closer to a third position fascist than anything else, but certainly his ascension as a political force is part of a much larger trend in Latin America of left populist leaders basically gaining electoral success. It is the what, at least in the case of Hugo Chavez, is the ostensible left populism that has raised hackles in Washington. But as we're going to see, there is every reason to be even more alarmed than people in Washington are at who now owns Sequoia and who is going to be influencing American elections. Because basically, the owner of Sequoia appears to be, once one traces the tributaries running to the main source, so to speak, the real owner of Sequoia appears to be the Underground Reich and the Bormann Capital Network, about which I've spoken so often. Once again, from the New York Times of October 29th of 2006, U.S. Investigates Voting Machines Venezuela Ties, article by Tim Golden, reads in part, the federal government is investigating the takeover last year of a leading American manufacturer of electronic voting systems by a small software company that has been linked to the leftist Venezuelan government of President Hugo Chavez. The inquiry is focusing on the Venezuelan owners of the software company, the Smartmatic Corporation, and is trying to determine whether the government in Caracas has any control or influence over the firm's operations, government officials and others familiar with the investigation said. The inquiry on the eve of the midterm elections is being conducted by the Committee on Foreign Investment of the United States, or CFIUS, the same panel of 12 government agencies that reviewed the abortive attempt by a company in Dubai to take over operations at six American ports earlier this year. The committee's formal inquiry into Smartmatic and its subsidiary Sequoia Voting Systems of Oakland, California, was first reported on Saturday in the Miami Herald. Skipping down, Smartmatic was a little-known firm with no experience in voting technology before it was chosen by the Venezuelan authorities to replace the country's elections machinery ahead of a contentious referendum that confirmed Mr. Chavez as president in August of 2004. Now, note here the role that performing, that basically handling the election machinery for Chavez played in the fortunes, in the corporate and marketplace fortunes of Smartmatic. Now, it is Smartmatic that bought Sequoia, and later we're going to see who controls Smartmatic. Skipping down and continuing in this New York Times article, Smartmatic was a little-known firm with no experience in voting technology before it was chosen by the Venezuelan authorities to replace the country's elections machinery ahead of a contentious referendum that confirmed Mr. Chavez as president in August of 2004. 7 months before that voting contract was awarded, a Venezuelan government financing agency invested more than $200,000 into a smaller technology company owned by some of the same people as Smartmatic that joined with Smartmatic as a minor partner in the bid. So note that there was a Venezuelan government financing agency which invested into a smaller technology company owned by some of the same people that developed Smartmatic, and which then joined with Smartmatic as a minor partner in the bid. Whether or not that smaller technology company was something of a front and something of a cat's paw for these interests and for the very powerful underground Reich IG Farben-related interests that appear to control Smartmatic, well, that is what I call food for thought and grounds for further research. Continuing. This company that was the recipient of Venezuelan government financing. In return, the government agency was given a 28% stake in the smaller company and a seat on its board, which was occupied by a senior government official who had previously advised Mr. Chavez on elections technology. But Venezuelan officials later insisted that the money was merely a small business loan and that it was repaid before the referendum. With a windfall of some $120 million from its first three contracts with Venezuela, Smartmatic, now note here the money that comes from the contracts with Venezuela, Smartmatic then bought the much larger and more established Sequoia voting systems, which now has voting equipment installed in 17 states and the District of Columbia. Since its takeover by Smartmatic in March of 2005, Sequoia has worked aggressively to market its voting machines in Latin America and other developing countries. The goal is to create the world's leader in electronic voting solutions, said Mitch Stoller, a company spokesman. But the role of the young Venezuelan engineers who founded Smartmatic has become less visible in public documents as the company has been restructured into an elaborate web of offshore companies and foreign trusts. So note that Smartmatic receives much of its early boost from official Venezuelan government financing. Then its role in helping to, basically its role in fielding, so to speak, the election machines that were used in Venezuela, that causes $120 million to flow into Smartmatic's coffers, which it then uses to buy out Sequoia Systems, which has a lot to do with the results of elections here in the United States, and which also had a really crooked history before Smartmatic picked it up. Skipping down or moving into another article about Smartmatic, this is also from the New York Times, also by Tim Golden. This, however, is from the New York Times of October 31st of 2006. It's headlined, Voting Machine Company Submits to Inquiry. And skipping down, more about the relationship between the Venezuelan government, the Venezuelan engineers who developed Smartmatic, and the electoral situation down in Venezuela, which served as something of an economic launching platform for Smartmatic, and which permitted Smartmatic to take over Sequoia. The government's interest in Smartmatic stems from questions about the relationship between its principal owners and the government of Venezuela. The company's founder and principal owner, Antonio Mujica Rivero, said he and an early partner, Alfredo Anzola, were young software engineers living in South Florida during the recount of the 2004 election and saw a business opportunity in electronic voting machines. So note that these two Venezuelans who basically helped to launch Smartmatic with the aid of official Venezuelan government financing were software engineers living in South Florida in the 2004 or during the 2004 election. Of course, South Florida is the epicenter of an awful lot of real funky dealings, as we have seen in, among other programs, our many visits with Daniel Hopsicker. South Florida is a very, very interesting place indeed. And continuing with this article, despite their lack of experience in the field, Smartmatic and Bista, another small company in which Mr. Mujica, his father, and Mr. Anzola were majority shareholders, were chosen in early 2004 to overhaul the Venezuelan election machinery. Only weeks before, Bista had received what company officials said was a government loan of some $150,000 in return for 28% of its shares. A Venezuelan official, Omar Montilla Castillo, joined its board as the government's representative. He has been identified in news reports as an election systems advisor to President Chavez. At the news conference and in an interview yesterday, Mr. Mujica said he had never met Mr. Montilla. When asked about the minutes of a Bista board meeting from December 15, 2003, which indicate that both men were present, he said he had only, quote, a vague recollection, unquote, of the event. So note that an apparent Venezuelan official, Omar Montilla Castillo, identified in news reports as an election systems advisor to President Chavez, joined the board of this Bista company, which was affiliated with Smartmatic. Now again, Smartmatic generates $120 million in revenues from its participation in overhauling the Venezuelan election machinery. It then uses that capital to take over Sequoia. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to move from the microcosm here and from the aspect of this story that has caused it to be something of that's caused the flap here in the United States. And we're going to take a look at who actually owns the Smartmatic company, or who controls would be a better word. Because what we're going to begin looking at now is the web of corporate ownership and the corporate masking that disguises, or at least obfuscates to a certain extent, the real ownership of Smartmatic. Now remember, Smartmatic controls or owns Sequoia. Now let's take a look at who controls Smartmatic, because these are the folks that are going to be helping to count your votes. Now, Chavez, again, is an interesting fellow. There are at least some indications in his set of political associations that he may very well be much closer to fascist, to the third position or Yaquiite fascism. For example, one of his top energy officials is Carlos the Jackal's brother. Carlos the Jackal, although having generated publicity as an extreme left-wing terrorist, is actually a protege of the late François Janoux, a top Nazi spy and the heir to the collected literary works and political last will and testament of Adolf Hitler, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Goebbels. Janoux was a very interesting fellow and a man whose name crops up in connection with September 11th in many respects. So, again, Chavez is an interesting fellow, but what is really most interesting here is really has nothing, well, I shouldn't say it has nothing directly to do with Hugo Chavez. It might, but what is really interesting is that all the flap has been about Chavez, the leftist, and his links with Smartmatic, but there's something very different that is linked to Smartmatic. And this has received no discussion at all. I'm going to put the URLs for the excerpts that I'm going to be reading in the description for the Record 576. This will, within a couple of weeks, be up on the Spitfire website. Now, Smartmatic, the company that controls Sequoia, the company whose assistance the Venezuelan government apparently that received assistance from the Venezuelan government in its growth, Smartmatic is owned by a European consortium, Citgo, which in turn is currently dominated by something called the Smeets Family Trust, apparently Dutch, but they bought that from the Sandoz Family Foundation, which continues to hold a large minority stake. And Sandoz is part of the IG Farben constellation. First, before we go into Citgo and Sandoz, we're going to review, actually I shouldn't say review, we're going to examine a section from the book Treason's Peace by Howard Watson Ombruster. This is one of the books available in its entirety on the Spitfire website. It was published in hardcover by the Beechhurst Press in 1947, and on page 337 of Howard Watson Ombruster's Treason's Peace, we see some discussion of a case that was filed in the U.S. By the U.S. Justice Department against a bunch of IG Farben affiliated companies for aiding the German war effort in World War II. And one of the defendants in this case, was Sandoz. Turning to Treason's Peace by Ambruster. Another indictment accusing General Anilon and General Dyestuff, by the way, American subsidiaries of IG Farben, another indictment accusing General Anilon and General Dyestuff of conspiracy in the dye industry was filed in the New Jersey District Court on May 14, 1942. But in this instance, Farben, local address still unknown, was named only as a co-conspirator. Those indicted included DuPont, Allied Chemical and Dye, and American Cyanamid, also Farben affiliates, the American CIBA, C-I-B-A, Sandoz, and Geigy, or Geigy, G-E-I-G-I. Some 20 officers of the corporate defendants, including Ernest K. Halbach and two of his Farben pals, were also indicted in this case. The alleged conspiracy included worldwide restrictions in the manufacture, distribution, import and export of dye stuff stemming out of the international cartel set up in 1928, in which co-conspirator Farben was the dominant influence. A long list of other co-conspirators included the Swiss CIBA, C-I-B-A, Sandoz, and Geigy, G-E-I-G-Y, companies with Cincinnati Chemical Works, their jointly owned American concern, Imperial Chemical Industries and its Canadian subsidiary, the French Kuhlmann firm, Japan's Mitsui, and DuPont ICI branches in Brazil and the Argentine. In this case, antitrust spread its largest net and landed speckled fish of many varieties and many nations. All had been gathered in Farben's net of the world's dye industry. And interestingly enough, of the disposition of the case, skipping down, in April 1946, after Tom Clark had become Attorney General, the indictments were completely dismissed as to 11 of the defendants, including General Dyestuff's celebrated Halbach, and were partially dismissed as to 4 of the corporations and 8 of the other individuals named. And for the record, 475, we took a look at Tom Clark and his role as Attorney General in helping to deep six investigations into American corporate links with Nazi Germany. Tom Clark is the father of Ramsey Clark, the Attorney General who helped to cover up the murders of President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, among others. Now, note again the presence of the Sandoz company in the IG Farben constellation. Sandoz is a Swiss-based pharmaceutical company, perhaps best known in the popular mind for having been the company for which Albert Hofmann was working when he invented LSD. Now, of Sandoz, its relationship to Citgo, which in turn is the dominant company that controls Smartmatic, we read, and the reference for this will be in the description. The Amsterdam Registry shows that Smartmatic International Holding BV's managing director is Trust International Management, or TIMBV. Both companies operate from the same address. According to the register, the website of TIMBV is, and then it gives the website, Citgo Group is quoted in Hedge Funds World as, quote, the world's largest hedge fund administrator that until very recently was controlled by Switzerland's Sandoz Foundation. However, Citgo has informed that, quote, an investor group including the Smeets Family Trust, Citgo managers, and friends of the firm has acquired a controlling interest in Citgo from the Sandoz Family Foundation. And I will also, in the description of this program, discuss how many of the companies that were affiliated with IG Farben are re-merging, including Geigy, or Geigy, G-E-I-G-I and C-I-B-A, both of them defendants along with Sandoz in the antitrust suit that, or the antitrust case that was brought in 1942, the antitrust case that we just read about in Treason's Peace. So I would note that rather like the petroleum companies that were broken up by the Antitrust Act of 1913, but that have now begun to re-merge. For example, Exxon, Standard Oil of New Jersey has now merged with Mobil, Standard Oil of New York, to become Exxon Mobil. Many of the companies that were derivatives of IG Farben at the end of World War II are beginning to re-merge as well. Now, what we're going to look at next concerns the fellow who controls Sandoz. This is a guy named Pierre Landolt, L-A-N-D-O-L-T. This is, again, the reference here with the web address will be listed in the description for the program. This from, say, a professional bio of Pierre Landolt, who controls the Sandoz Foundation. Pierre holds the rotating presidency of the family-owned Sandoz Foundation, named after the pharmaceutical company founded by his grandfather in the 1880s. Sandoz disappeared in 1996 when it was merged with Saiba and Jaiji to form Novartis. Today, Pierre and his three siblings own a 3.8% stake in Novartis, worth $3.4 billion. By the way, Novartis is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world. That's $1 billion less than it was worth last May, but the family has other assets to cushion the blow, including a private bank, two resort hotels, and significant stakes in Italian internet portal Tiscali and telecom startup Interroot. Under the foundation rules, each sibling is allowed to make one withdrawal from the capital to finance a personal project. Family head Pierre, 54, used his stake to build a successful banking, commodities, and ranching business in Brazil. Of course, Latin America is one of the major areas of interest by the Underground Reich and by the powerful corporate tentacles that have stretched out from that ever since the end of World War II. Really, those tentacles were stretching around the world prior to and during World War II. But for the purposes of our present understanding, then those tentacles have extended even farther and become even more intertwined with the main avenues of capital in the post-World War II period. So again, reviewing what we've been looking at, we began by taking a look at the role of elements associated with the Venezuelan government in helping to crystallize the Smartmatic company, which then grew into a fairly profitable company and bought Sequoia, which handles a lot of the voting technology for the United States. Then what we began looking at is who controls Smartmatic. Smartmatic, as was observed, had evolved into a web of offshore companies. Well, Smartmatic is controlled by Citgo, the largest hedge fund manager in the world, and Citgo, in turn, was, up until recently, controlled by the Sandoz Family Foundation. It's now controlled by something called the Smeets Family Foundation, but the Sandoz Foundation continues to own a very large stake, minority stake, but a large stake nonetheless, in Smartmatic. Note here, as we will see inside two of the program, that family trusts play a critical role in the post-war Underground Reich and the Bormann Capital Network. Again, I can't stress too strongly, use the websites that are available, because an awful lot of what is presented in the broadcasts themselves are referential to other material. www.spitfirelist.com is the main website. Also visit the websites maintained by sister station WFMU that is heroically archiving the entire For the Record series online. And be sure to use the many linked websites as well. Use the descriptions on the For the Record site. Each For the Record show is turned into a long article-length description. There is a blog sphere maintained by a listener that, basically blogs the For the Record shows. WFMU is podcasting the broadcasts. And please use the books that are available for download for free on very compact Adobe PDF files. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 576, Votschwitz. So near, yet so farben. This has been recorded on November 12th of the year 2006. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.